I want you to know that I checked that verse in 16 different translations, at least. They all say they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a symbol. The Holy Spirit is not a placeholder for something else. The Holy Spirit is the divine one. He is real and he is for real. The Holy Spirit is not force or energy. The Holy Spirit is the divine one, God himself in spiritual form. They heard something like wind. They saw something like fire, but they are filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not a feeling. This is a filling. Something enters them before we may say they had the Spirit. Now the Spirit has them. All of God has entered these individuals. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the power of Pentecost, friends. And what I try to say to a congregation is simply this, friends. There is more to this religion thing we hang around and play with. There's power to it. There's an energy. There's a reality. Something from above could actually enter our lives and transform us. So the influence of God invaded their lives. The abiding presence of the Spirit came to them. The purifying and pouring dynamism of the Holy Spirit entered their lives. This is Pentecost. They're filled with the Spirit. And so for your life and mine, the Spirit is given. You could get more than a church membership from this church. You could get the experience of being filled with the Spirit. But you may ask, well, what's the evidence that something really happened? What's the proof here? What's the proof that something really happened to them? Did it last? Well, go back to verse 4 with me. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and now, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. There in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, there were Jews from all over the then known world. Gathered here, the sound of the wind drew these people to the house. And we are told there are 16 different nations, 16 different language groups present. They all heard the gospel in their language. You could fake many things in life. I have seen people fake being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, I've seen it. You can fake anything. You know, you fake it till you make it. But you can't fake speaking in another language in the presence of a native speaker. For a language is a conceptual system. It has grammar, it has syntax. You got to learn that stuff. You have to practice it. For years, I've struggled with languages. Some of you think I still do. In high school, I did Latin and French and Spanish. Struggled. In graduate school, I did French and German and Hebrew and Greek and Ugaritic and Aramaic and Akkadian. Yeah, they're real languages, friends. You should see them. Today I've lost my ability for most of them because I didn't keep up. And I struggle on a weekly basis just to keep up Hebrew and Greek. But these men are different in this situation. They are fluently speaking languages they have never studied. And guess what? They did not have the Rosetta Stone, you know? So how could they do it? Proof of the power of the Holy Spirit, verse 4. They began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. That's the answer. And so we have diversity of languages. You know, diversity of languages came at the Tower of Babel to stop its construction. And often that's seen as a curse. Now the message of Pentecost is telling us that diversity of languages will not stop the spread of the gospel. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in other languages. So what does that mean for your life? It means that when you and I are Spirit-filled, we are given heavenly gifts by the Holy Spirit. You receive abilities beyond your skill set when you receive the Holy Spirit. And so when you read the writings of Paul, he talks about spiritual gifts, the gift of teaching, the gift of compassion, the gift of showing mercy, the gift of hospitality, the gift of kindness, the gift of prophesying. They are the gifts of the Spirit. So you are part of this church or some church. If you are asked to serve, do not just back off saying, I can't. Turn to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers and enables us to serve. Look at the end of verse 4. They spoke in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. And speaking for my friends, myself, friends, look, I do this week after week. I've been doing it for almost all my life, it seems. Without the Holy Spirit, I can do this. The Holy Spirit enables us. Or you may say, well, does this thing really happen today? Billy Graham tells of a time when he was in Africa for a crusade. And many tribes were there. There were more tribes present than his crusade had translators or interpreters, I should say, to hear the word. And after Billy Graham's preaching and the altar call was given, there were people from tribes that had no interpreters inquiring about how they may know the Christ of God. The Holy Spirit works in us and through us. But you ask, is it really for real? Did something really happen? Look at verse 14 on. Oh, no, let us first look at verse 12. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Verse 13, others sneered and said, they're all filled with new wine. They're drunk. You know, today we have other words for them, right? They're fundamentalists. They're fanatics. They're conservatives. Let me tell you something, friends. The history of the Methodist Church is one of evangelical zeal. The motto of early Methodists in America was this: to spread scriptural holiness throughout the land. The early Methodist Church was a church of fire and warmth and power. I don't know if I've ever told you of the story of a young preacher asking John Wesley one day, how could I get more people to come and listen to my preaching? You know what John Wesley said to him? Young man, get on fire for God and people would come to watch you burn. Oh, they are drunk. But verse 14 through 16, but Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice, addressed them, "Men of Judea, all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The two important words for me, friends, in those verses 14 through 16 are the first two. But Peter. Those are the two important words. You know why? When you ask the question whether Pentecost was real and whether these men really were filled with anything new, Peter answers the question. Because as I said before, Peter was the man who was embarrassed, ashamed, afraid to witness for his Lord. Peter is the man that Jesus confronted after the resurrection and said to him, "Do you love me? If you love me, why would you deny me?" Now Peter is doing something he had never ever done before. He is standing up for his Lord, but Peter. He is speaking up for his Lord, but Peter. He is speaking out for his Lord. No, he is not out of his mind. He is filled with the Spirit. That's the proof. Peter had 3 years of the best teaching, I've said before. It never changed his life. Peter witnessed the greatest miracles ever done on the earth. They never convinced him. Peter sat under the preaching of Christ. Apparently, it never converted him. What the crucifixion and the resurrection did not do for Peter, Pentecost did. But Peter, the man's life has changed. Finds his voice. He is faithful to his Lord. And that day on Pentecost, Peter preached, you know, the first sermon of the church. 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000 souls were saved. The apostles were arrested, beaten, imprisoned, threatened, warned not to preach in the name of Jesus again. But the more they persecuted them, the bolder they became. They faced down the might of imperial Rome. They stood up to the Jewish Sanhedrin. By AD 467, Rome was no more. The Roman Empire fell. But the movement started with these men on the day of Pentecost is alive and well today. Friends, if we would have any power in our lives, it would come from the Holy Spirit. Now, don't misunderstand me. We can have a very viable social organization, call it a church if you want. You could build it on a religious model. You could have your little ritual and social organization, and you could throw in a little religious stuff and prayers and whatever. Oh, that's happening all across the world. And it could, yes, it will grow. But to be the Church of Jesus Christ, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so this is the story of Pentecost. Their world was changed when their hearts were changed. People say all the time, I'm curious when I hear this kind of thing, we are here to change the world. That is too much for me, friends. Leave me out, I feel to say sometimes. We are here to transform the world. One school I went to upon graduation, we knelt down, and after we got our hoods, you know, touched with a Bible on the shoulder, and we were told, go out and change the world. I am not sure. So let us say, I want to change the world. Let us say that. My big question is, who is going to change me? Ask my wife, you know. I need changing. Who is going to change me? People say, I'm to transform the world. Well, who is going to transform me? Do you see anybody lining up to be transformed? Ever see that? Have you ever seen people lining up to be changed and to be transformed? Oh, no. Only those guys need it, not me. I'm okay. They need it. So my first concern is not how I may change the world. My first concern is, who's going to change me? For when it comes down to it, the real issues of my life are not the issues of the world, the issues of my life. When it comes down to it, the world is not so much a problem. I am the problem. The real meaning of Pentecost is their hearts were changed. Consequently, they changed their world. And the change the world needs, sisters and brothers, is the change described in the book of Acts, not taught in the social work department of the local university. We need a change. The fullness of the Spirit is not given us to have another special trophy for us to show off. The Spirit is given to fill the void in our lives, like the apostles. They had all the religion, they had all the teaching, they had all the preaching, the miracles, but something was missing. They needed the Spirit. And if you sit here today and you say to yourself, I've had church all my life, but nothing has changed in me. I take the Lord's Supper, but nothing is changing me. I am baptized, but nothing is changing me. It may be that you need the Holy Spirit. How are you doing? I said today was rated M. Huh? Everybody still here? Yeah, but no one has fainted? We need. John Wesley is the founder of the Methodist movement. Wesley was an Anglican priest. He had great compassion. He ministered deeply to the poor in the streets of London. He went into the prisons. He started a holy club at Oxford. He came to America in the 1700s to witness and save, convert, as he say, the Indians. His mission was a total failure. He went back to England, greatly discouraged, because for all that Wesley was doing, Wesley felt something was missing in his life. And then he tells us of his Aldersgate experience. He said, in the evening I went very unwillingly to a society, that's really church, in Aldersgate, where one was reading Luther's preface to the book of Romans. About 8:45, Wesley records in his journal, while the leader was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed the fire of God, and I felt I did trust Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. There is more to all of this than just coming, friends. We may have a life-transforming experience with the Holy Spirit. We may be so filled with the Spirit that our lives will overflow and others would be blessed. Amen. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. Number 420. And receive it.
Breathe on me, yes, God.
Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yes, my God, my God, my God. Let us come to God now. As we continue to hear the music, let us meditate. The Holy Spirit has been given. The Holy Spirit has come to fill your life, to fill my life. Before we would do anything for God of significance of the Spirit, we need the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has come. We don't have to wait as the disciples did. So you are here now. Let us rest our souls in the Lord. You may ask, well, how may I receive the fullness of the Spirit? Just ask. So now let us open our hands. Let's raise our palms up to God. If you're so inclined, and let us say now in our hearts, Lord, open your palms, your hands, open them up to the Lord and say, Lord, I am here. I am here, Lord. You made me in your own image and likeness. Christ died for me. You sent the Holy Spirit to fill my life. Precious God, now I open myself. Spirit of God, fill me. Spirit of God, fill my life, my emotions, my will, my desires, fill me. Just open up yourself now to the Holy Spirit. And as you do it, feel God's power coming on you. Feel God's Spirit coming. Feel your life being touched, being blessed. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine. Till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Let us sing that stanza one more time. Stanza three. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine.
Breathe on me, breath,
till I am wholly thine. Until this earthly part of me, yes, glows with thy fire divine. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, this is what it's about, you know. It's experiencing God. It's our lives being touched, being changed, so that we may be instruments of His change. The order for the Lord's Supper is found in our worship brochure, a service of word and table. Would you please stand? Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Gracious God, we give you our thanks and praise for your faithfulness to your people throughout the ages, for the faithful apostles, for sending the Holy Spirit upon them and giving birth to your church. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might.
Fullness of time, Christ came to earth. He preached the good news. He raised the sick. He proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord. The night before he went out to suffer death on the cross, gathered with his disciples, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." Likewise, taking the cup, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we would be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one. One with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly table through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us be seated. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us come before the Lord's communion table now. As God's people, let us come thanking God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thanking God for filling us with the Holy Spirit. Do you sense the Spirit in your life? Thank God for the Spirit's indwelling. Embrace the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Be blessed by the Spirit. And in the spirit of Pentecost and Calvary before the Lord's table now, let us bring to our table fellowship the needs of our brothers and sisters. Think of those of our body who are not doing well at home, those in nursing homes. Offer a prayer for individuals now, especially those who have taken this supper with us in this place. And pray for those who support them and care for them. Let us pray for Kelsey Merrillat, having a medical procedure this week. Let us pray for her. Gracious God, you're a God of all healing. You're a God who fixes all things and makes them well. Be merciful to Kelsey, we ask. think of others who are going through hard times physically, suffering, facing surgeries or procedures. Lift them up as well to the Lord. Remember Carol at this time as she looks to God for health and strength and healing and wholeness. Let us pray for Denny and Darlene Krensky and their family, Jason's wife and children, this entire family as they grieve Jason's passing. It's a very sad time and heavy time for them. But they know the God of all comforts. Gracious Lord, we pray that you will come close to this family and hold them each and every one. Keep them in your loving care. Support them with your everlasting arms. And may the message of resurrection and eternal life encourage and sustain them until the time when they would be reunited with Jesus. Let us receive God's blessings on our lives as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ gives